You doing okay this evening? Welcome to Hour of Power. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's going to be a good night. Amen. Ready to receive, right? All right. Well, I want to talk to you. I was looking for a title. It seemed good. I'm calling this Fix Your Focus. Because, you know, fix can mean to set your gaze, but it can also mean to repair something. And sometimes we need to fix our gaze. We need to set our gaze on some things, or we need to repair what it is that we're looking at, right? You ever had, you know, you ever get off track because you start looking in the wrong direction? Pastor Tad had a great message on Sunday night, and he brought that up. He mentioned that we will follow wherever we're looking. And there's principles around that. I was looking at one particular principle. I used to work many years ago. I worked for the federal government. I worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I had an opportunity to go to lots of training. And they would teach you about, you know, how to deal with patients, sometimes how to deal with difficult patients, how to deal with hard situations, and lots of psychology involved in it, and lots of, you know, lots of tools that they would give you for your belt. One of the things that I always found interesting was all the training that they gave us, really, they were just taking Bible principles, and they never mentioned God, but you're like, well, that's biblical. What they're telling you is has a biblical foundation to it, and you can, and as a born-again believer, you know, like, you know, of the same flavor you are, like, you know, tongue-talking believer, like a full gospel believer, I would use those things and be led of the Spirit, and just because I knew that those principles came from the Word of God, I could use those to help other people and to help myself in the job that I was doing. But one of those principles was this, and I was thinking about it when I was preparing. There's a psychological term that's called inattentional blindness. Inattentional blindness. It describes what happens when you see something obvious because your attention is, or you fail to see something rather obvious because your attention is locked on something else. So something that's extremely obvious that you should have recognized, because of inattentional blindness, you miss that thing for all of the other things going on. A couple of psychologists actually, they called it sighted blindness, where your eyes are open, but you still don't see. And it's based on our attention and how that determines our perception. If our focus is on something else, you can miss something that's right in front of you. I come from a country area, and it's why so many people end up hitting deer during like the late season, like around November time, when the deer, there's lots more activity in the woods. But people will miss them because of this inattentional blindness. They're looking at one thing and they miss something else. They were so bad where we lived. My parents, we were raised in Western Kentucky, and my family, part of my family was from Southern Illinois and part of it was from Western Kentucky. And so we were kind of in that tip, but it was all rural. It was country. And my dad would get so fed up with the deer because there were so many of them. One county there, you know, they said, I don't know where they got the numbers, but they said there was more deer than there were people in this particular county. Dean Tad and I, or Pastor Tad and I, have talked about that particular county, Pope County, Illinois, down in Southern Illinois. But they were so bad, the deer were so bad, that one day he was driving and he didn't hit a deer. A deer hit him. It just came running up out of a ditch and jumped and hit the side of his car. He was like, that's it. I'm moving out of this state. I can't take it. He was so frustrated. But inattentional blindness causes us to miss things that should have been obvious because we're looking at something else. There's a famous example of it. Now, I'm going to ruin it for you. If you haven't seen this example, it'll be ruined for you, but you can show it to somebody else and you can have fun with it. There's a video that's called the Invisible Gorilla Experiment. And you can find it on YouTube. But basically what they did, these psychologists, to test this theory of inattentional blindness, they had a bunch of people passing a ball back and forth. And they said, we want you to count the number of times that this ball is passed from one person to another. Just count the number of times. And they were very specific about it, wanted you to be intentional about it. And they said, So they have the video going and you're watching the video and you see these people passing this ball back and forth. Maybe the ball is like red, I think, and the people are all wearing a similar color and they're throwing the ball back and forth. And at the end of it, it says, did you get it right? And then it gives the number of how many times the ball was passed. And you're feeling real good about yourself if you did get it right, because, you know, I'm a real focused individual and I look over here and I look and I counted all the passes and I'm like, yeah, I got that right. Felt real good about it. And they said, but did you see the gorilla dancing in the background? And I'm like, what gorilla? And they roll the tape back, and sure enough, while you're focused on the ball passing back and forth, they had somebody in a gorilla suit walk through the background. And you never even see it. There's an additional, if I ruined that one for you, but there's an additional one where they pull another trick and they make it go even further. And you, maybe that one will get you. But 50% of all people miss the gorilla going in the background while they're looking at the ball. They miss something that's extremely obvious because they're looking at other things. There's a spiritual truth there, and it's this. When the enemy gets us distracted and focused on our problem, we can become blind to the promises of God. The enemy can get us so distracted with all these other things going on that the specific, noticeable word of God, what God has said to us, gets caught up in the mix, and we miss the things that God is saying because we've got so many things going on to distract us. When we count symptoms in our body, sometimes we miss Christ the healer. When we count dollars or lack of dollars, sometimes we miss Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. When we focus on a storm, we might miss the word that says come. Isn't that what we saw? Peter did that in Matthew 14, where he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And then when he got out on the water, and the scripture says he saw the wind boisterous, when he got his focus off of the word come and started looking at something else, inattentional blindness caused him to begin to sink. Something else became more distracting or caught more of his attention than what he should have been paying attention to. Because how many of you know this? Without a word from the Lord, I can remember as a kid hearing the story about Peter walking on the water and trying it. When I was a kid at the local, we had this thing, it was called a slough, which it's like a pond, but it's more stagnant, so you can kind of smell the water. You know what I'm talking about? And I can remember after hearing the story at church about Peter walking on the water and just going down there and just, you know, putting my foot on it. And I didn't get out there and get my sock wet or anything. I just wanted to know, you know, and so I pushed on it. And obviously, it takes a word from the Lord to walk on water. Isn't that right? Well, if you get distracted with something else, you could see how difficult it would be to keep our focus on the word come when you start seeing the wind and the waves. Why? Because the way that the enemy works on us is he begins to pile on distractions so that they get so real and they remind us of the impossibilities that we forget that God's the one speaking to us. And, you know, I don't know about you. I've said this to the students before. Where are my students at? Woo, woo. Great bunch, man. I love those guys. And ladies, I love all you guys. But I said that to the students before about how it's really easy to get caught up in the natural because I don't shave my spirit's face in the morning. Isn't that right? You don't brush your spirit's teeth in the morning or comb your spirit's hair in the morning. But this natural world seems so much more real to us because we're walking around in it. And if we allow ourselves, we'll get so focused on this natural world that we forget that there are spiritual principles or spiritual laws that we can put into practice in our lives that are superseding principles. You know what a superseding principle is, right? It's like, you know, the law of gravity says what goes up must come down, right? But there's a superseding principle that is the law of lift and the law of thrust. And planes, you know, can stay in the air because of lift and because of thrust. If I have enough thrust and I have enough lift, then a plane can supersede the laws of gravity. But guess what? You run out of lift, you run out of thrust, you don't have enough, the law of gravity comes back into play, and whatever you're in, what goes up must come down. Well, in our natural lives, you know, the scripture says the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. Meaning what? It's a superseding law. There is a law that's in play says that the life in Christ Jesus makes us free from the law of sin and death. But the life in Christ Jesus is what we have to walk in order to have a superseding experience above that law. Isn't that right? Because the enemy, you know this as well as I do, the enemy will come back into our lives and wreak havoc anytime we allow him to gain any foothold in any area. Amen? We move in the direction of what we fix our eyes on. Faith in God requires that we fix our eyes on God's word. Go with me to Proverbs 4. I think too many times as believers, we start looking at our symptoms or our bank accounts or our doctor's reports or people's opinions, and we get our focus shifted off of what God's word says. Proverbs 4 says this to us. It's a great reminder of what we should be focusing our attention on. Beginning with verse 20, I'm reading out of the New King James. It says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health or medicine to all our flesh. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying, let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, their life to those that find them and health to all your flesh." Our faith is developed by what we keep our eyes on. Our faith can be developed by what you and I put our focus on. Eventually, we'll move in the direction of what we consistently look at. Faith, defined in the old Webster's 1800s dictionary, is this. Faith is a belief, the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on their authority and veracity without other evidence, the judgment that what another states or testifies is truth, the assent of the mind to the truth of a proposition advanced by another. It's making a decision that this is the truth. What this person is saying, this is the truth. Theologically, theologically, it's the assent of the mind or understanding to the truth of what God has revealed. Simple belief of the scriptures, of the being and perfections of God, and the existence, character, and doctrines of Christ. But faith in and of itself, you could have faith in lots of things. Isn't that right? Faith in and of itself is a belief where you've heard something, you've seen something maybe, but not necessarily. And because of what you heard, and then based on the things that you've seen, you've formed a belief. I'm talking about in the natural, not spiritually now. Different than believing God's word. The scripture is plain. Mark 11 tells us this. Mark 11, 22 says, "Have faith in," well, that was weak. Have faith in. So we're to have faith in God, but people have faith in lots of other things. You know as well as I do. Many times in our lives, we've put our faith in something else. We'll get a doctor's report. We'll get a bill. And because of what somebody says, we allow that to take us down a path where we set that up as what it is that we believe. We've chosen to believe that. And what we've often done is we believe it at the expense of what God's word says. The scripture says, have faith in God. Habakkuk 2:4 says this. Now, the understood in scripture is not that you would just have faith in anything. Mark 11, 22 tells us what to have faith in. Have faith in God. Amen? So that's the understood. You're to have your faith in God. Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. His faith in what? In God. Amen. Romans 1:17, same thing. It says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith in God. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith in God. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith in God. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So the understood is that we put our faith in God and his word. And notice, Proverbs 4 says this, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear unto my saying, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, their life to those that find them, and health to all your flesh. We have to give attention to his words. We have to make them first place. We have to put our faith in who God is and what God says above all else. Right? When you think about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5, verses 27 and 28 says, when she had heard about Jesus, she came in the press behind. For she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. Well, she had heard of Jesus. Isn't that right? She had heard of Jesus. Well, when she heard of Jesus, then she made a decision. And that decision butted up against everything that she knew. What did she know? She knew that she had suffered this condition for many years and was none better, but rather grew worse. So everything in the natural said, you know, she had put her faith in the doctors. She had put her money in the doctor's pockets. And, you know, thank God for doctors. They were just trying to help her. But she was paying the doctors. Nothing had changed. And in that situation, you could say, well, I'm confident that I guess this thing that I have is just too much to overcome. This is a condition that I'm going to die with. But she heard of Jesus. And when she heard of Jesus, she had a decision to make. She could look at all the other things. Remember, in inattentional blindness, she could give her attention to all these other things, the doctor's report, the years that had passed, the money that was spent, but she would miss what they were saying about Jesus. But when she heard, she made a decision. And you know she made a decision to take what she heard about Jesus and act on it, because she crawled through the people to get to the one that she felt like could change her condition. Isn't that right? She changed her focus, which is what Proverbs 4 is telling us, give attention to my words. Now, some of you have heard me tell a part of this story. I'm going to share, maybe I'll share a little bit more of it tonight about my own life and how, see, there's lots of ways that you can get healed. This is, you know, this is me telling you, my opinion is this, that I feel like there's so many streams of healing because you and I might not receive the same way. Handkerchiefs and aprons, miracles, all kinds of ways that you can receive healing. I received my healing by faith, standing on the word, but I didn't start out in faith. When I was 28 years old, roughly 27, 28 years old, maybe right at 28, I was driving to work one night, and on my way to work, now I was a believer. I didn't know a whole lot at the time. I was trying, you know, thank God for trying, right? But I was driving to work one night. I had got called out. I worked for the government. I worked for the Commonwealth of Kentucky, and I was driving to work, and I turned my head to look at something. And when I did, just like that, it felt like something snapped in my neck, and all of a sudden, everything went crazy. My eyes were doing weird stuff. I got dizzy. I thought right there at that light, I was at a stoplight. I thought, I'm going to die right here. I made it to where I was going. I can remember calling my wife, Sarah, and she didn't know what I was doing. But I felt like I was saying goodbye because I thought at any moment I'm going to die. I don't know what's happening, but something just happened. And something snapped, something clicked, something popped. I don't know, but I can't see right now. And it's I was afraid. Well, I did make it home. Those symptoms never left me. And it started a series of doctor's appointments where I was trying to figure out what was going on. My eyes were messed up. Whenever I would look at something, my depth perception was off. I could be having a conversation with somebody like at an arm's length, and everything that was behind them had become so distracting that I couldn't even focus on the conversation that I was having because my eyes, all the stuff behind them, seemed like they were coming in the foreground. It was scary. It was a visual thing, so I couldn't get rid of it. And I was going to doctors. I ended up going to a primary care doctor. When I went to the primary care doctor, he said, you know, because you're dizzy and stuff, this might be like an ENT thing. I'm going to get you in to see an ear, nose, and throat guy. And so I'm like, oh, finally, we're going to get some relief. We'll get this figured out. It's probably just something with my equilibrium. You know, I'm telling myself everything I could to not think that I'm going to die here. I went there. The doctor did all these tests. And that's, you know, so you've heard me tell this story here before, maybe. He leaned in and he put his hand on my leg. Boy, that's the worst appointment you can have with a doctor, where they lean in on you and they put their hand on your leg. You know something that's not so good is coming. And he said, we think this is neurological. I've called in a favor to a neurologist's office that I know so that we can get you in for an MRI. And they got me in real quick for an MRI. And I can remember going home and going back to my bedroom and pulling the covers over my head. Because remember, again, it was eye symptoms. So whenever I closed my eyes, I couldn't see them. And so it gave me some relief. But I'm in the back and I'm waiting on the results of this MRI. And I'm waiting for the doctor to call. And the hours are clicking by. And man, I'm praying like I hadn't prayed in a long time. You know, like I said, I was born again, but I didn't want to die. I had kids. I had a wife. I was a young man. I was 28 years old. When the doctor called, he said they didn't find anything, which is not what you want to hear when somebody's looking for brains. It was getting too heavy in here, sorry. They didn't find anything, but my symptoms didn't change. And it started me on a path of trying to figure out. I'd heard that God was a healer, but I didn't know him as a healer. It started me on this path of trying to receive healing. And man, the enemy would come to me. I can remember almost as if it was audible. It wasn't, but almost as if it was audible. I'm 28 now, mind you. He said, you'll be dead by the time you're 30. Now, here's where I'm going to, I'm going to bring this back to this attending to God's words and inattentive blindness, inattentional blindness. He said that, spoke it just, you know how the devil just kind of creeps into your thought life and says something, and it was so menacing, and it felt so oppressive, and I thought, he almost had me convinced that I was going to die by the time that I was 30. I'm scrambling, doing everything I could to try to figure out how I could connect to God. I was fasting because I thought, you know, I'm going to impress God. I'll fast and he'll heal me. And I just missed meals and I didn't get healed. Doesn't impress God. So I'm fasting. I ended up, I can remember, I was still trying to live my life, still going to work, still having all these symptoms, and they were always there. They never subsided. So when I was talking to people, I always had this distracting thing going on. Always felt like I was dizzy in some way, like at any moment you could just kind of tip over. And I was going to work every day. I can remember how fear gripped me so tightly that it felt like an overcoat. It felt like sometimes, I can remember I had started listening to, somehow somebody had given me, thank God they did, Ministering to the Lord series by Brother Hagin, and I got a hold of this audio teaching called The Praise Cure. I would take my lunch every day and I would go into another office area and I would turn the lights down because they were visual symptoms so I could get rid of them. And I would walk in there at the end of that audio session. He leads by example. And they left that on there. We don't always do that, but they had left on there them praising the Lord together. And I would just get in with them and I would praise and I would see those things lifting off of me. And I would leave the room and they would come right back. And because they were visual, again, remember what I said, inattentive blindness, what I said was, these are visual, so how do you get rid of them? I'm looking at them all the time. I started studying the word. I came to Rhema. I was a first-year student and had all these symptoms. None of them had left me, but now I'm 29. I'm still trying to figure this out. Kept listening to the praise cure. Got a hold of some other teaching. What led me to Rhema was one of those teachings had something on there about Rhema Bible Training College. That kind of started the journey for me to come here. But I ended up here and I had all of those symptoms. But, you know, I think time's ticking. I'm going to be 30. Tick, 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 tick. And the devil's telling me, and I'm still not convinced of anything different. Why? Because he's got all this stuff going on and I'm focused on this thing that's in my life. And even when I would go to the word, I would see it. And that's just like the devil, isn't it? To put something in your path to kind of, to get your focus off of even the word of God when you try to read it. Thank God when I came here, I was a student. I also got to work here at the ministry, worked in media duplication. They said I could listen to anything I wanted. I'd grab everything that we had here on healing. Grab a series by Pastor Hagen, get a series by Brother, anything I could find, I was listening to it. And so I would go to school every day, and then I was working a four-hour shift here, and then I had a second job after that so I could get a full 8 hours in. I would come in, and for that 4 hours after I'd get out of school, I'm listening to stuff on healing, meditating on that all the time. And I started getting a hold of the importance of my confession, and I started saying things differently because of what I was seeing from all this teaching and what the Word of God said about confessing the word of God. And over time, what I'm doing, scripture says, give attention to his words. Incline your ears unto his sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. What's he talking about there? Let me skip here. Y'all doing okay? All right. Either way, I'm going to finish up one way or another. So praise the Lord. With regard to that scripture in Proverbs, notice it says this. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Well, what are sayings? Words. So we could say, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear unto my words, my sayings. Do not let them, what? My words depart from your eyes. Keep them what? My words in the midst of your heart, for they what? My words are life to those that find them what? My words and health to all their flesh. The key that I was looking for was attention placed upon the word of God instead of every contradictory circumstance that I had. The key ingredient that I was missing was I needed the word. I couldn't take somebody else's word for it. I couldn't let my symptoms be the final word in my life and expect that they were going to change. I had to put my attention on something that would bring life and health. And the only thing that I know that can do that are his words. I had to start giving attention to his words and say that I wanted to fix my focus on that rather than what I was seeing, what I was feeling, the thoughts that I was dying. I had to fix my focus on what he said, what his word said. And I started getting into his word, and I found out that himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. I found out that with his stripes, we are healed. Over time, as I began to study the word, I saw that Jesus was my healer. I grew up in this Pentecostal church that taught this. We thought that the proof that I was in faith was the healing manifested in my body. What? No. I have to believe that what the Word says is true before I see it. Before anything is changed. Why? Because He said it. And I can't have more faith in a doctor. Thank God for doctors, not against doctors. But I can't have more faith in what the doctor says than what my Jesus said. I can't have more faith in what the banker says than what my Jesus says. I can't have more faith in my symptoms and what's going on in my body. I can't, what's going on in my life, what's going on in my marriage, what's going on my job. I can't have more faith in the things that are seen than I do in what God has told me in His Word. But the way to begin to move from not receiving to receiving is to get our gaze fixed on the right things. As long as I kept looking at the symptoms that I was having, as long as I kept looking at the thoughts that I had about that I was going to die by the time I was 30, I'm convinced as I'm standing here, a little more than 30 right now, thank you very much. I'm convinced that I would have died by the time I was 30 because the devil almost had me. It was by the grace of God that I was able to move beyond that. But because of His Word, I'm able to stand. And now, you know, the number of times over the years that the devil tried to bring back all of those same symptoms, the very same ones, used to, every time I preached and gave my testimony about it, that night at some point, I'd start having those symptoms. Until I finally got wise to that dipstick and realized what he was doing. He was just bringing it back to see if I would receive it. If I would take his word over God's word. But he came too late for that. Your situation, my situation, all the same. If you'll remember, if I can go back and remember, how do you believe God in an area to get a need met when you have a need met? Your car broke down and you need a new car. How do you believe God for that? The same way you believed him when you got healed. What's his word say? How do you believe God when your marriage is falling apart and you don't know how you're going to fix it? What's going to happen? The same way that he met your need when you needed that car. It's the same thing. It's the word. Oftentimes we want this quick fix where we're just like, well, I just want something else to happen. But the answer is the same 1,000 times. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that must take first place. The just shall live by faith. Faith in what? In what God's word says. Abraham had to say that he was the father of many nations when everybody would look at him kind of square, wondering what was going on when he didn't have any kids. Why? Because God called those things that be not as though they were. And so he had to call those things that be not as though they were. He had to see himself how God saw him. He had to take what God had said to him and give that more prominence than what? Than biology. They're old people. Old people don't have babies. Than biology, than 25 years waiting, all the time that he had to wait on. He had to put everything else aside and say, God said it, so it has to come to pass. Fixing our gaze on what God's word says instead of what our current circumstance is will always work. It will always change. When miracles aren't in our midst, you know, those are as the Spirit wills. But the word always works. You can get healed by faith all the time, sitting at your house, watching online right now. It always works. It's 8:00 and Pastor Hagin says, that's hour of power. That means I'm done. Would you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray. Father God, to the people that are here tonight, I don't know what they came in here with, but whatever that heaviness is, whatever that that weight that the enemy tried to bring to them, I thank you, Lord, that you help them to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they would leave here tonight encouraged that your word is true. Let your word be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. No matter what they're facing tonight, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the difficulty is, the word works. Your word works because it's your word. We thank you, Father God, for ministering to the lives of people here tonight. Lord, those that are dealing with sickness and disease in their body, those who are dealing with difficult financial situations, those who have no peace in their home, those who are struggling in any area, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, I thank you, Lord, for speaking words in due season to them that they can hold on to. And Lord, if they'll stay with the word, if they'll stay with the word, rooted and grounded, Lord, if they'll stay with the word, that their situation will change. I give you the praise and the glory for your faithfulness to us, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, if you're here tonight and you're a guest, our connection team is going to find you. We've got a gift for you. Our altar care workers are coming down now. If you need specific prayer for anything, baptism of the Holy Spirit, rededication of your life, being born again for the first time, whatever it is you need somebody to agree with you for, they're down here. If you're watching online, if you're not born again and you don't know Jesus, you can call on him right now. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All you got to do is ask him to come in. Create in me a clean heart, God. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and your life will be changed. You can be filled with his Holy Spirit. Your body can be healed the same as people in this room. And I believe that if you'll call on him, he'll help you too. So when we leave here, you come down. If you need prayer and you're in this room, as we're exiting the building, you come down. Don't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Is there anything else? God bless you guys. See you on Sunday. We love and appreciate you. Love on your church family.